Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's top story time for you now. Sit down with some cocoa or poutine or any other drink of your choice and enjoy Bugle issue 260, also known as International Love Triangle, released on Valentine's Day 2014 with me and John Oliver.
Top story this week, heart-shaped balloon sales are up and so is the suicide rate. It must be Valentine's Day!
Andy, Valentine's Day is such a commercially special time of year.
Yes.
It is that romantic time to look a loved one in the eyes and say, look, I remembered, all right? I don't want to hear any shit. I mean, those are just memories to last a lifetime. Throughout history, Valentine's Day has been a date synonymous with romantic gestures and massacres. And fittingly, there were a number of stories about the art of love this week. And in an act of perfect timing, the White House enjoyed a state visit earlier this week from François Hollande, President of France, the nation, of course, instantly identifiable with love and military capitulation. However, it came with a need for some diplomatic tightrope walking after François Hollande's quintessentially French decision to trade in the First Lady of France for a younger French actress, to the somewhat mystifying shock of the people of France and the First Lady of France. I mean, come on, both of you. You know what you signed up for when you elected and or married a man with a French passport. It was a matter of time before he was caught on a scooter outside his mistress's house. And by the way, that is not an offensive stereotype. That's literally what happened. This meant that the White House had to quickly and discreetly destroy all the state dinner invitations due to the fact that they were inviting people to a dinner honouring François Hollande and his wife, the wife who is now presumably at home cutting his face out of their wedding photos. White House aides then apparently had to delay printing any new invitations as they were waiting to hear whether to include his new mistress on the invitation or not. And perhaps wisely, Hollande opted not to bring her, although that would have been a really ballsy move, Andy. Turn up to your state dinner with your mistress sitting on the back of the official French presidential scooter. So, instead, the invitation simply read, you are cordially invited to the White House to enjoy a state dinner honouring François Hollande, President of France and the human Pepe Le Pew.
Yes, he ended up, as you say, coming solo, Hollande. So they, in fact, gave him Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a date, the long-standing Supreme Court judge. Apparently, relations between them were, quotes, a bit frosty, but with some potential. And in fact, it goes even beyond what you suggest in terms of the damage he's done to America's view of the French. Because I think America tends to have a stereotype view of what France is all about. I think this has been exacerbated over the last decade and a bit during the various disagreements during the war on terror. So this was a chance for Hollande to build bridges. But in his this is the first state visit by a French president to America for 20 years. And in terms of getting rid of stereotypes, it wasn't his wife that he did not bring. It was the girlfriend that he ditched his wife for that he's now ditched for this actress mistress. He might as well have just ridden off the plane on an old bicycle with a string of garlic round his neck. A big step backwards.
He's an offensive stereotype, Andy. As you say, this was a chance. This was promoted as a chance for two nations who've had a sometimes tricky relationship over the last decade or two to come together. And it's been portrayed here as a huge success, with the French leader announcing in a press conference that mutual trust had been restored. And if you were standing outside the apartment of the ex Mrs. Hollande in France, I'm pretty sure you could have heard her say, "Oh, huh, I'm so pleased to hear that trust has been restored. America is certainly admirably forgiving." Although, to be fair, I don't believe the US was consistently lied to by France in the past, only for it to turn out all along that France was f***ing another country! In the same press conference, President Obama praised France's military role in helping quash extremist violence in Africa after the French and the US collaborated this year on missions in Mali and the Central African Republic. And it's such a classic story, Andy. What brings a relationship together better than a military intervention? Any good marriage counsellor will tell you that. Things are going a little stale. Why not try scented candles or fighting your way through the Congolese jungle together?
Hollande is not what you would describe as a classic Hollywood pin-up boy. One journalist was quoted in a British newspaper as saying that his sex appeal is, quote, as inexplicable as unpasteurised cheese. Well, I mean, this, whoever said this needs to change their f***ing cheese supplier. Unpasteurised cheese is a passport to eternal happiness. He's saying this is in the week of Valentine's Day. I read a poll of the most romantic nationalities, and France came in fourth behind Spain, Argentina, and Italy, a creditable fourth place. Britain not in the top 10, sadly. America, seventh. Three places ahead of the 10th place Vietnamese. both top 10. It does mean if you watch Apocalypse Now with this fact in mind, it basically comes across as a rom-com. France, the fourth most romantic nation. In another survey, came out as the rudest nation in the world. And in another survey, it came across as the nation that is most tolerant of men wearing Speedo swimming trunks on the beach. And you can read into those three surveys whatever you want, provided what you read into them is telling someone to go f*** themselves while wearing nothing but a pair of skimpy wangle and flugelnut contour flaunting undersplants is more likely to make someone fall in love with you than a trip to the cinema and a romantic meal. Use that information wisely, buglers. Test it out if you want, and please, if you do test it out, report back on how it pans out for you. The top five most romantic nations, John: Spain, Argentina, Italy, France, Brazil. They've all won the Football World Cup at least once since 1974. In fact, 8 of the 9 last World Cups have been won by the 5 most romantic nations on Earth, the exception being, of course, Germany. So that shows you what an amazing sport football must be.
Yeah, you can't argue with statistics, Andy, even when they seem to be deployed inappropriately.
Britain got third in the rudeness table. Bronze medal. Bronze medal for being the third rudest nation on Earth. That is bollocks. Who the f*** are these c***s doing this bullshit survey anyway? They should f*** off and leave us the f*** alone. We're not f***ing rude in this country. Who are these c***s? Cup of tea. Russia second. Germany fourth. That is down 3 in just 70 years. America seventh. The least rude of the countries in the survey. Brazil. Pretty hard to give off a leave me the f*** alone vibe when you're trying an unlikely overhead kick on the beach. There you go.
Oh, Chris, you better warm up that bleeping thing. You don't want to pull something.
F*** off.
Stretch it out. The UK press has been reporting the French state visit here in the US in a way that has made Britain sound like a jealous partner. Because the newspapers were filled with worried reports about whether France had taken over the role of special relationship with the US from the British, with the panic of a paranoid ex-girlfriend. It seemed that we were only one step away from sending David Cameron over unannounced to crash the press conference, only to storm in, look President Obama in the eye and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise you were with this bitch." I'm telling you, Andy, from the tone of the reports, I think Britain and the ex-Mrs. Hollande have been eating a lot of ice cream together this week. in other Valentine's Day news, a restaurant here in New York is offering a $30,000 Valentine's Day menu in a pretty seismic f*** you to poor people in this country and around the world. Barack Karakam, owner of the Pera Mediterranean Brasserie on Madison Avenue, said it promises, and I quote, "a unique experience with all the right touches. This is an extravagant experience featuring some of the most aphrodisiac ingredients." Although I have to say, Andy, if If I had a $30,000 dinner, the most aphrodisiac ingredient would be $29,500 cash back at the end of that meal. So, well, what do you get for a $30,000 meal that makes it worth it, other than dessert being the keys to a new f***ing car? Well, you get $1,600 an ounce Royal Osteria caviar. You get a molten chocolate cake topped with edible 24-karat gold. You get Shelter Island oysters and three main courses, including lobster, roasted venison, and rack of lamb. That meal is not an aphrodisiac, Andy. That is a digestive hand grenade. You are absolutely going to need a scented candle afterwards, not to set a sexy mood, but to cover up the gigantic romantic dump you're going to have to take.
Well, it puts a lot of pressure as well if you're not splitting the bill, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you're going to want some payback for that.
The owner of the restaurant, Andy, says that he imagines a specific couple showing up, saying someone with a long-lost love, a love-against-all-odds situation, and this is kind of the final icing on the cake to bring it all together. No, Andy, that is not who's going to be turning up for a $30,000 dinner. I'll tell you who is, though, a hedge fund manager and his closest personal prostitute. That is who that guy is catering for. Incredibly, the restaurant is also offering insurance, just in case the evening doesn't end well, in the form of a therapist and a matchmaker also being part of the package if Valentine's heartbreak winds up on the menu. The owner said, there's still a great story to be told. We'll try and put the gentleman back in the game quickly. Apparently, they've also included a cleaner, Andy, in the Harvey Keitel sense, so that you can murder her and dispose of the body all before dessert arrives. The whole thing clearly just smacks of being a shameless marketing ploy to make money. And if that's true, then what actually could be more appropriate on Valentine's Day than that?
There you go, Buglers. A one-month warning to get the Valentine's gifts now. Go to thebuglepodcast.com and click the merch button.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.